It is 5:30 here at 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. My name's the V-Man. It's time for Rockin' the Boat. Today on the show, we're going to be discussing the case of a Santa Cruz animal rights activist who is now in federal custody. Joining me on the phone will be Nick Henze.
Hi, hey, Vinny. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Just to clarify, Lindsay Parme is an animal rights activist, like you said, from Santa Cruz, who's actually currently facing 18 months in federal prison for doing nothing more than refusing to testify as a witness before a federal grand jury. She isn't charged with breaking any laws or committing any crime. She's simply held as a witness, and for failing to cooperate with the federal government, she faces 18 months in jail for, again, not committing any crime, but just for simply remaining silent, which is supposed to be a constitutional right.
All that's coming right up here on Rockin' the Boat. Stand by, stay tuned. Last Thursday, June 12th, 20-year-old Santa Cruz activist Lindsay Parme was arrested outside her home by FBI agents and taken before Magistrate Howard Lloyd at the San Jose Federal Courthouse to determine whether she would be transferred to New Jersey under the custody of United States Marshals. Lindsay Parme had been subpoenaed in January to appear before a federal grand jury which convened in New Jersey. The grand jury is currently investigating animal rights activists and their campaign against the notorious animal testing lab, Huntington Life Sciences, Europe's largest contract animal testing laboratory, operating two facilities in Britain and one in New Jersey. Joining me today on Rockin' the Boat to discuss the case is Nicholas Henze, an above-ground animal rights activist and a spokesperson for the Free Lindsay Support Network, which is organizing on Parme's behalf. Hello, Nick. How are you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I really appreciate your being with us today. And
yeah.
Before we get into a discussion about Lindsay's case, maybe you can talk briefly about Huntington Life Sciences. As I mentioned in the opening, they are Europe's largest contract animal testing laboratory. Give us a little more detail. What exactly are they doing there, and why?
Well, Huntington Life Sciences is a contract research organization, a CRO, and they've been in existence for 50 years now. And like you stated, they have two facilities in England, one in Huntington, where they get their namesake, and the third facility is actually in East Millstone, New Jersey. And what a contract research organization does is essentially whatever a company wants to get tested, either to put it on the market or for liability purposes, or to simply say, well, you know, we've had this success rate with, you know, with this lab animal, or, you know, this product has been shown safe with this lab animal and whatnot. Whatever product you want tested, however you want it tested, you send it to a place like Huntington Life Sciences, and Huntington Life Sciences is the second largest in the world and the largest in Europe. So the types of products that are tested at Huntington Life Sciences range from rat killer to weed killer, oven cleaner, lipstick, eyeliner, toothpaste, Procter & Gamble products. There was a campaign launched against Procter & Gamble a few years ago because of videotapes and photographs that were taken at Huntington Life Sciences, actually, that were being performed on behalf of Procter & Gamble. Other products that they test that have done a wonderful service to the society are products like Olestra, which was shown to result in anal leakage by people who consumed it. So the products that are tested on animals at Huntington Life Sciences range from, you know, the most simple to the, you know, the oven cleaner and cosmetics, to pharmaceuticals that companies are trying to get tested on the market, to other types of genetically modified organisms and products like that companies like Monsanto and other multinationals want to get put on the market.
And these are all tested on live animals, right?
Yes. That's the nature of vivisection, is the experimentation on living animals. And they use animals ranging from mice and rats to beagle puppies to rabbits, dogs, primates. Again, it's really whatever you want tested and however you want it tested. you send it to Huntington Life Sciences, and they'll do it. And they have a record of producing the types of results that these companies are paying big bucks to see. And what I mean by that is Huntington Life Sciences, in one of the undercover investigations, was shown to be falsifying and forging data on behalf of these companies. So not only is it a company that engages in illegitimate and immoral practices in regards to their treatment of animals, but just in the types of experiments that they're doing that are supposed to, at least they claim, to benefit society. Well, if your objective is to benefit society, there's a little bit of conflict of interest when you're getting a paycheck from those companies who want to put their product on the market. And in 500 undercover investigations, we've seen that, you know, that Huntington Life Sciences' true colors have shown through. They're not about life, and they're not about sciences. So it's kind of ironic that they put their the life and the sciences in their namesake, similar to, you know, Operation Enduring Freedom and the Patriot Act and all those wonderful acronyms and monikers that we have today. Really, the antithesis of what they're calling themselves.
Do you have any estimate of how many animals are tested each year, and how many of them survive these tests?
Well, I can tell you with no uncertainty that no animal survives these tests in the long run. No animal enters, plenty of animals, about 500 animals every day enter the labs of Huntington Life Sciences, and not a single one leaves alive. According to the documents that we've seen, Huntington Life Sciences kills about 180,000 animals every year, ranging from rats to dogs to primates, and that translates to about 500 animals every single day. This is a place that kills 500 animals every single day. I don't think people really realize what a staggering amount of animals that is. I mean, just think about 500 dogs or 500 rats. Those are animals every single day that are dying within this lab. And finally, people in the United Kingdom and the United States are standing up and saying enough is enough, and we're winning.
Are there any alternatives to the use of live animals for testing, medicines and food alternatives and all the other, you know, products that you mentioned, dyes, adhesives and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, we're entering the 21st century here, and there's plenty of alternatives, ranging from clinical studies based upon results that we already have, that were based on animal experimentation. But more importantly, much of the experimentation that goes on is on a cellular level, and the best way to get cellular results in cellular experimentation is to do culture studies, to do in vitro studies. And, you know, there's also the talk of stem cell research, which is a hot topic, you know, right now. But at the same time, a lot of the studies that deal with humans essentially have to begin at the cellular level. And it's my contention, and the contention of many scientists and individuals in the medical field, that you produce far more reliable and accurate results when you do them with the actual human subject or human cellular tissue. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I mean, it has to be stated that every drug, every product before it goes on the market, well, at least every drug before it goes on the market is tested on a human after it's tested on an animal, and one out of every 200 drugs that are proven safe in an animal are proven to be unsafe in humans. So, you know, it's just, again, the contention that there are plenty of alternatives out there that don't involve animal research, but the biomedical and the pharmaceutical and the petrochemical industries, I'm sure you're aware of, are multi-billion-dollar industries, and you know, they don't want those alternatives to be made readily available because, you know, that undercuts their profit margin.
I'm looking at Huntington Life Sciences' website, and they have a link under ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And it states here on the website, "No one wants to use animals unnecessarily or to cause them unnecessary suffering. The guiding principles in animal research today are called the three R's. Refinement, to make sure animals suffer as little as possible. Reduction, to minimize the number of animals used. And replacement, to replace animal procedures with non-animal techniques wherever possible." Based on your activism, you know, in the animal rights movement, do you think that this is a sincere, you know, do you think HLS is being sincere when they state this?
Well, considering that link was put on their website after the campaign to close them down was launched, I would say that's a little disingenuous because That's simply them trying to save face with the growing amount of people who are made aware of what goes on within Huntington Life Sciences. And they're concerned with limiting and reducing the number of animals used in research. Yet, again, they're a contract research organization. Whatever someone wants tested, you know, HLS is going to test it. I mean, how many times has the toothpaste Crest been tested on animals? How many times has the latest perfume been tested on an animal? I mean, however many times someone wants it to be tested, Huntington Life Sciences will test it. I mean, they're nothing more than a hired gun. I mean, whoever will give them a paycheck, they'll do it. And to say that they're particularly interested with reducing the number of animals used is insane. I mean, they make their money off of animal experimentation, so why would they want to reduce that? It'd be one thing for a scientist who's searching for a cure for cancer, and while I would ethically disagree with this individual and the argument he would make, at least he's coming from a position where he may have a little bit less bias involved. But Huntington Life Sciences makes their money from people sending products to them along with a paycheck. So for them to say that, well, we want to reduce the number of animals used is ludicrous. Similar to the same way that, you know, I'm sure everyone has heard the age-old proverb, the fox guarding the hen house. Huntington Life Sciences is really regulating itself in that regard, and they often say, well, there's the Animal Welfare Act and there's the USDA. Well, if you go onto the campaign website of SHAC, which is Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, there's a report from an individual USDA inspector who was told after viewing the facilities of Huntington Life Sciences and making numerous notations of citations to be issued, was encouraged to kind of let those slide because this is a, quote, political matter. And so the USDA is concerned with those citations being made public and therefore adding fuel to the fire of opposition to Huntington Life Sciences. So I just don't buy that Huntington Life Sciences is concerned with reducing the amount of animals who suffer, except for the fact of reducing the bad publicity that arises from that.
Who are some of the clients of HLS? What companies are seeking out Huntington Life Sciences services?
Well, the list is getting smaller and smaller every passing day as more and more companies and more individuals are becoming aware of Huntington Life Sciences. Huntington Life Sciences is a dying company exactly for the reason that the animal rights movement has gone after potential clients and potential investors and anyone who has done business with Huntington Life Sciences and says, well, if you're going to do business with a company that does this and we provide them with undercover footage of Huntington Life Sciences, then that is certainly your choice to do, but realize that the animal rights movement is going to target you as someone who is supporting animal suffering. And so some of the past clients that I can think of for Huntington Life Sciences were Monsanto and Procter & Gamble and large companies like that. Texaco and ARCO were also companies that do business with Huntington Life Sciences. You know, off the top of my head, like I said, every day the list gets smaller and smaller, so fewer and fewer companies are doing business with Huntington Life Sciences, and I would speculate that's the reason why, which I'm sure we'll get into later, why this grand jury is investigating animal rights activists as a direct result of their decrease in a profit margin and the fact that they're on the brink of bankruptcy because people don't want to do business with them.
It's the voice of Nick Hensey, and he is an above-ground animal rights activist and currently the spokesperson for the Free Lindsay Support Network, which is organizing on 20-year-old Santa Cruz activist Lindsay Parme's behalf. Lindsay Parme was arrested 1 week ago, last Thursday, June 12th, outside her home in Santa Cruz by agents of the FBI. Can you tell us a little bit about what she's being charged with?
Well, she's not being charged with any criminal act, per se. She doesn't even technically have charges. She was arrested on a warrant for failure to appear or failure to comply with the judge's order to appear before the grand jury in New Jersey. So right now she's been in jail since Thursday. That's, what, 7 days. She's been in jail for a week, and she isn't charged with violating any law. She isn't charged with breaking any law. She isn't charged with committing any crime. The only thing that she was arrested for was, from what we understand, an arrest warrant issued from the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey to bring her back to New Jersey to testify before this grand jury, which she's made every indication that she has no intention of doing, not because she has anything to hide or not because she believes that she might get in trouble for testifying, but simply because, out of principle, she doesn't believe that she should cooperate with a grand jury whose sole purpose is to investigate and intimidate animal rights activists.
And
What leads you to believe that that is what the grand jury is investigating? I mean, they have come out publicly and stated that they will they have refused to state exactly what they're investigating. So why do you believe that that's what they're looking into?
Right, right. Charles McKenna, the assistant U.S. attorney spearheading this investigation, or grand jury as he likes to call it, declines to state that the grand jury is even in existence. Well, I have court documents in my hand right now that say this was a grand jury impaneled in October of 2002 and Lindsay was subpoenaed before it. There currently are six grand juries in the United States investigating animal rights activists. And the individuals who have been forced to appear before these grand juries have been asked questions about individuals associated with the animal rights movement, and in particular individuals who have been working against Huntington Life Sciences. So the best that we can go on is educated guesses based upon questions that were asked with inside these grand juries.
Such as?
Do you know this person? Do you know Huntington Life Sciences? What do you think about the Animal Liberation Front and, you know, their involvement? What do you think about Huntington Life Sciences and the amount of animals they killed? Do you know who Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty is? And asking questions about other individuals within the campaign to close down Huntington Life Sciences. And so the questions aren't really directed towards any particular crime. They're more of questions of, do you know this person or do you know that person, or where do your sympathies lay in regards to the animal rights movement and the campaign to close down Huntington Life Sciences? So it's quite possible she could go in there and she could be asked questions about some whale in SeaWorld, I mean, for all we know, but that's highly unlikely considering the amount of grand juries that are going on right now when the focus has been around Huntington Life Sciences.
Let's talk a little bit about SHAC. That's the group Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. Now, there are a number of different organizations that are working on animal rights, and SHAC is sort of what I like to term an above ground organization. Maybe you can touch upon some of the methods used in the animal rights movement by SHAC and by others.
Well, like you said, it needs to be made clear that SHAC, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, is a completely above ground and lawful organization that was essentially formed for the sole purpose of shutting down Huntington Life Sciences. They were started in the UK, and a few years ago they were kind of transplanted, not necessarily transplanted, but activists picked up the campaign here in the United States. So it's not a group per se. It's kind of a focus, and the focus is to stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, and the only way to stop Huntington Animal Cruelty is to put the place out of business altogether. Unfortunately, we'd like for Huntington Life Sciences to operate in a way that doesn't hurt animals and doesn't commit atrocities against non-human animals, but the five undercover investigations that we have within Huntington Life Sciences have shown us that time and time again they continue to do this. So for years, animal rights activists and the animal rights movement has stood up and they've held their placards, and we've, you know, collected signatures, and we've lobbied our government for not necessarily even the closure of these labs, but simply to develop and to implement laws that protect animals. The Labour government and the Labour Party and the UK government right now ran on the platform that they were going to reduce the number of animals used in animal experimentation, and the record shows that not only has that number not decreased, it's actually in fact increased. And so the animal rights movement is just slowly beginning to realize that when we're operating within the confines of kind of the playing field that has been presented to us, that we're told that, you know, we're supposed to go out and hold signs, that, you know, we can collect signatures, we can write letters to our politicians. Well, the facts are showing that our politicians aren't responding to what we're doing. The general public can't say, well, I'm going to boycott Huntington Life Sciences. It's not a place that the general public goes and does business with. So it's kind of difficult to encourage a boycott against this company, like in other instances you can encourage people to boycott a company that has unfair labor practices. This is a company that really doesn't operate in front of the public. It operates completely out of the public eye. So the campaign the animal rights movement kind of shifted its energy to not just targeting the lab itself, but targeting the financial pillars of the lab. And so we began going after the financial backing, the investors, and as an investor sold off shares in Huntington Life Sciences, their stock plummeted from about $30 a share to 1/100th of a cent. They were delisted from the London Stock Exchange. They were delisted from the New York Stock Exchange, and they were delisted from the Pink Sheets. And so they were in a state of pretty much financial ruin. And they restructured their organization and moved here to the United States because they thought it would be a more hospitable environment for them to operate. And the United States animal rights movement has proved them dead wrong in that regard. The tactics that we've used have ranged from, you know, home demonstrations at individuals within the lab, and consequently those individuals have realized that, well, my job tenure at Huntington Life Sciences is uncertain, and yet I'm going to have to deal with animal rights activists protesting outside of my house or in my neighborhood. It's really not worth it anymore. And ideally, we would hope that individuals would come to the realization that these are horrible and unnecessary atrocities being committed within this lab and make an ethical decision to no longer do business or no longer work with a lab. But unfortunately, money speaks louder than anything else, and so we've gone after the money behind Huntington Life Sciences, and unfortunately, I wish it wasn't the case, but that's proved the most effective tactic that the animal rights movement has, is targeting the financial pillars of animal abusers, and that's what we've done, and that's what we'll continue to do, because unlike petitioning the government, it works.
I'm speaking with Nick Hensey here on Rockin' the Boat. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we're discussing the case of Lindsay Parme, a 20-year-old Santa Cruz woman who was arrested last Thursday, June 12th, outside her home by FBI agents. Nick, Lindsay had a hearing just the other day over in San Jose. What happened?
Well, she was going before the judge to see if she would be released prior to her transfer back to New Jersey. And obviously, that didn't quite happen. She's in jail currently, and she'll be in jail in San Jose, in San Jose jail, in the custody of the U.S. Marshals until she's transferred to Oklahoma, where she'll be held up to a week, and then will most likely be transferred back to New Jersey to appear before the grand jury. So she's potentially facing, you know, 3 weeks, maybe a month in jail. When she doesn't even have any criminal charges pending against her, it's kind of hard to imagine that someone could spend a month in jail. Well, I guess prior to Guantanamo Bay and the individuals who are in Cuba right now in jail indefinitely, I guess it would be hard to imagine. But as we can see, the U.S. government is kind of finding that there isn't much aversion to putting people in jail without criminal charges pending. So I don't mean to get off topic, but.
Have you had any contacts with Lindsay?
I have. I've been to her hearings. Sorry, go ahead.
How is she doing?
She's doing good. Lindsay is really one of the most mellow and laid-back individuals and friends that I have in this movement. And yet at the same time, when Lindsay's pushed into a corner like the U.S. government has put her in, she digs in her heels and she stands up for what she believes is right, despite her weighing, you know, maybe 100 pounds or so. She's probably one of the strongest people I know, both physically and mentally. And so she's just someone who won't let herself be bullied around, and she's doing good. We're still trying to get her vegan food at this point, and we're working with the jail in that regards. But as far as I know, she has yet to receive a vegan meal, so she's been kind of living off of the scraps here and there.
And as you mentioned, she seems to be steadfast in her refusal to cooperate with the grand jury, and she's facing 18 months?
Correct. I just want to make it abundantly clear that we've been talking about Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, and we've been talking about Huntington Life Sciences, and we've been talking about the animal rights movement and some of the tactics that we've used. But Lindsay, again, she's an animal rights activist who isn't being questioned or isn't being charged with any actions regarding to the campaign to close down Huntington Life Sciences. We don't exactly understand why she's been subpoenaed to this grand jury in relation to her role in the campaign to close down Huntington Life Sciences. We only know that this grand jury is most likely the focus of of investigations regarding Huntington Life Sciences, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm speaking with Nick Henze. He's with the Free Lindsay Support Network, an above-ground animal rights activist himself, and working on Lindsay Parmay's behalf. We just have a few minutes, so I want to get listeners some, give listeners some ideas for action. What are you suggesting right now people do if they're interested in this case and want to organize on Lindsay's behalf?
Well, there's a few websites that you can visit, if I can give those out. And the first one is nocompromise.org, common spelling, nocompromise.org. And at the top of the webpage is a picture of Lindsay that you can click on, and it's got an update of what's going on with her case. And then individuals, if they're interested, can also visit the Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty website, and it's SHAC, S-H-A-C, America.net. And there's a link on the website for Lindsay, and so you can go to www.shacamerica.net/freelindsay.htm, and that's got some information about Lindsay's case and also more information about how individuals can get involved. Additionally, if people are interested, they can call the U.S. Attorney Charles McKenna in New Jersey, and actually he is in the office right now for some reason, working late hours. If people want to call him and let him know that they are really disgusted with the abuses that the grand jury is perpetrating against animal rights activists and civil liberties in general, they can call him at 973-645-2716. Again, that's Charles McKenna, and he's an assistant U.S. attorney, and his phone number is 973-645-2716. And if I can give out one more number, I'm sorry, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Go for it.
There's a company called Legacy Trading, and they're in Oklahoma, and they are currently trading in Huntington Life Sciences stock, so we're encouraging people to give Skip, he's the owner and the head honcho of that company, to give Legacy a call and let them know that Huntington Life Sciences is a company that people shouldn't be doing business with. And his number is 405-216-9443. Again, the number is 405-216-9443. And again, if anyone wants more information about Lindsay, you can visit those websites, and there's a link for some more information or phone numbers and emails that you can call, and we'll get anyone any information they want or how they can help out otherwise. It's really key that we get the information out, not only about animal rights in general, but the abuses of the grand jury process. It can't be understated that the grand jury operates in complete secrecy, and when someone goes before the grand jury, they're not allowed to have an attorney present. They're not allowed to plead the Fifth Amendment or First Amendment or any other constitutional privileges. So grand juries are really everything that's the antithesis of what's democratic in this society, and so people should really speak out not only against the abuses of animals, but the abuses of the U.S. government and their utilization of grand juries as political tools of oppression.
And I really appreciate you joining me here today, Nick Henze. We are out of time. Again, the website's nocompromise.org and SHAC, S-H-A-C, America.net, if people are interested to find out more.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts real quick? We have about a minute. So.
I just want to state that the U.S. government and this grand jury are really doing nothing but pandering to the special interests of big business and those who profit from animal exploitation. They're just acting as nothing more than big bullies, and the grand jury system is just another way of intimidating and incarcerating political dissidents, the same way that we saw occur in the 1960s and during the Red Scare a few decades prior. And I'd just like to say, for the record, that we'll beat this grand jury like we beat every other grand jury, and we're going to put Huntington Life Sciences out of business regardless of how many grand juries and lawsuits they convene or file.
Nick Henze, I really appreciate your joining me today here on Rockin' the Boat. We are out of time. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
And indeed, this is Rockin' the Boat. We are fresh out of time. I will continue to follow this case. And again, the website's nocompromise.org and shacamerica.net. Tune in again tomorrow at 5:30 to 6 o'clock for another edition of Rockin' the Boat. Stay tuned.